Welcome to GemaraMarkings.com, your roadmap to the Talmud Bavli. We highly recommend printing out the PDF of the DAF with the markings, or better yet, emailing us to obtain your own copy of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. If this is your first time visiting the site, we highly recommend clicking on the links to view the sample markings, as well as to hear a brief 4-minute audio explanation of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. Enjoy your shiur.
Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be beginning at Daf Kuf Mem Amud Aleph. We hope that you've ordered your personal copy of Maseches Bava Basra. The Gemara that we're going to be picking up with is based on the Mishnah. In the Mishnah we saw that a person who died and left sons and daughters, in the event that there are limited funds in the estate, so the daughters are taken care of, they're covered, they have first crack, so to speak, for mizonos purposes, for maintenance, for sustenance, and the sons, they fend for themselves by knocking at doors. If, however, there are nechosim merubin, which was the first example of the Mishnah, then the daughters, once again, are covered off the top for mizonos, and the balance, whatever remains, is for the sons to inherit. What happens in the event that there is a change in value of estate? In other words, at the point the father dies, the estate has a certain value, and before collection starts, before payment is made to the children, there's a value change. Either prices go up or prices go down. That is the topic the Gemara will be beginning with at the top of Kuf Mem Omer Aleph, third line from the top. Pshita Merubin VeNismat. We call this number one. This is the first situation we're dealing with. It's obvious to the Gemara that in the event that the property was Merubin, was a lot, namely there was enough not only for the daughters to be maintained, but there was also a balance for inheritance, left for inheritance for the sons. But before payment came to be made, vinismaatu, the value fell. As a result of that, there was only enough for the daughter's maintenance. What is the story with regard to the sons? Can we say that since at the point of death of the father, the sons were zoche, were merited a certain percentage of the estate for inheritance, and even though they've gone, the estate has gone down in value, the sons will be able to claim the same percentage of that which remains right now, or not? So the Gemara says on this pshita that merubin v'nismatu kvar zochu bohen yorshin. Let's glance at the Rashbam, the second narrow line, pshita merubin v'nismatu b'shas misohoyu merubin. At the point the father died, the estate was of significant value. Ve'achshav hokiru mizonos oniskaklu anechosim v'chosru. And now the estate has dropped in value, either because the cost of mizonos has risen, so that more money will be needed to pay for the basic maintenance of the daughters alone, or possibly the value of the estate itself dropped. And at this point there isn't enough to classify the estate as merubin, as was the subject of the previous shiur, namely there is not enough to support the sons and daughters until they reach bagrus. So what is the din? So the Rashbam continues, kvar zochu bohen yorshin b'shas misa savihen. At the point the father died, the yorshin, the sons, gained rights to a particular percentage. In other words, you take off the top the amount for the mizonos of the daughters, and whatever remained is destined to be the Yerusha of the sons. That Yerusha occupied a certain percentage of the estate, or accounted for a certain percentage of the estate, and that same percentage the sons are entitled to now. The Karina Bahu Nechosim Rubin. The estate is referred to as that. And the daughters will get their portion as per the evaluation at the time of death. Shas Mises Avihen, Vabonim Yershu Chelkom Shahoya Magiyam Ba'isa Shah. And the sons will inherit that percentage that they would have been entitled to at the point their father died. The Chomash Chosra Nechosim Chosu Labonis Labonim L'chol Echad Kefi Chelko Roy Lo. And all that which diminished in the value of the estate diminishes equally, percentage wise, for sons and daughters, each one according to the original assigned percentage. The Gemara continues with case number two, Mu'otin v'nisrabu mai. Let us say that at the point the father died, there was not enough to cover the value of mezonos for the sons and daughters. In other words, there was enough for the daughters alone. And nisrabu, and the estate became greater, using one example. For example, as we've written in between the lines, shehuzlu mezonos, where the value of food decreased, so that the amount that is available in the estate is sufficient not only to cover the cost of the mezonos upon us, but now there is a balance that could be viewed as yerusha for the bonim. My, what is the din? Do the sons have any claim on the estate right now? Let us glance at the Rashbam. There's a Rashbam, Dibur HaMaschil, Mahu, there's an asterisk that will help you find it. Mi moti revocha lebonim. Does the increase become worthy for the sons? V'yitlu mosar nechosim ha'oidif michtei mezonos bonos ad shigru. And thereby the sons would be entitled to the balance that exists beyond the cost of the mezonos for the bonos, the maintenance for the daughters until they achieve bagrus. The question has been raised. The Gemara now proceeds to offer a response. More accurately, though, before reading the response, the Gemara presents two sides of the question, the analysis of the question. You have in the Gemara, you notice a little aleph at the beginning of the line, and the next line, O Dilma, is squiggle underlined, representing an alternative answer, and we call it beis. So, aleph, birshus yorshin kaimi, do we say that the estate is considered in the possession of the Yorshim, of the sons, Hilkoch Bishus Yorshim Shavuach, and as a result of that, if you view the estate as in the Rishus of the Yorshim, we can say that the increased value is gained, is to be enjoyed by them. True that at the point of death, they didn't have any calling on it, but nevertheless, it was considered in their rishus without an actual right to it because it was mu'atin. But now that it's increased, since we defined the estate as being in the domain of the yisomim, they are able to benefit. These sons are able to benefit by this increase. O Dilma, or possibly sluki misalki yorshin mehocha. Another way to view this situation is that if at the point of death the nechasim were mu'atin, the sons are just out of the picture. Saluki, Misaki, they're removed. They're out of the picture. And hence, if they're out of the picture, any subsequent increase is not something that they can enjoy. The Gemara will answer and tell us that, in fact, the estate is viewed as in the domain, in the Rishus, under the jurisdiction of the sons. Toshma, the Omar of Asi Omar of Yochanan, Yesoimim Shekidmu Umachru Benachosim Watim. If sons jumped the gun, so to speak, and sold the inheritance, even though it was Nechosim Watim, and technically speaking, they shouldn't have done it, because in Nechosim Watim we're supposed to provide for the daughters. But if those sons went ahead and sold the properties, Mashemachru Mochru, their sale is valid, and the daughters cannot go place a claim from the purchasers. So we see from this that even in the Chosim U'atim, the Yesoimim, the Yorshim, the sons, have a tfisa on it, have a claim on it. The Rashbam quotes a principle that we alluded to a moment ago, and he says, "Ein motziin memozon ho'isha v'abonos minechosim ishu abodim," that we do not collect payment for the sus for the maintenance of a widow or of the daughters from properties on which there is a lien. And in this case, the properties were sold, so all the more so, the sale stands. The Gemara continues with what we will see is a series of situations, as are illustrated by the double underlining that you'll notice on the next line. Before we proceed in the Gemara itself, we want to note some of the structural aspects of the Gemara. So we take advantage of our note on the outside margin. The Nosei Mivneh. The double underline represents Sidra Shel She'elois, a series of questions. Ha'im Elu, will it be that the following, Mimatim V'Nechosim, create a situation of Mi'ut Nechosim, a reduction in estate? La'asayis Oysam Nechosim Mu'atim. Will the following examples of people, which of course we haven't said a word about yet, but will they create a situation where otherwise it would have been Nechosim Merubin, but now because of the presence of these different individuals, it becomes classified as Nechosim Mu'atim. Nafkamina Lagabi Habonim. The difference will be with regard to the sons. As we mentioned before, as far as the daughters are concerned, they get their mazonas off the top. Ha'im yesh lohem mashu minechosim elu. Will the sons be able to lay claim on these nechosim? Will we say that they are not nechosim u'otim because we'll view these people as if they're not in the picture? And as a result of that, the sons would have a stake in the property? Or do we say that these individuals, and if you glance ahead at the Gemara, you can see ahead of time, just by glancing down at the double underlined expressions, you have Almona, Bas Ishto, Balchov, these three different situations, will their presence in the picture make it such that these are Nechosim Mu'atim, and therefore the sons will immediately go knocking on the doors. They'll Yishalu Al Apsochim. The Gemara continues inside. Yosef Rav Yirmiyah Kameh the Rebbe Avo V'ka Bo'i Minei. Before we go any further, we also ought to note we have a Roman numeral number 1 in the little space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text between the Gemara and the Rashbam. If you glance at the bottom, skim down, you notice a Roman number 2. At that point in the Gemara says V'ika D'Bo'i Lo Li'idoch Gisa, that the Gemara will present this question, if you will, in starting from an opposite vantage point. Whereas at this point, the Gemara starts off by asking Almona, then Bas Ishto and Balchov. The Gemara later on will start off by asking concerning Balchov, Bas Ishto, and then Almona. Bas Ishto, of course, is in the middle position in both Lashonos. So we continue in the Gemara. Almonoso mahu shitamai b'nechosim. Person dies, leaving sons and daughters and a widow. When a person dies and leaves a widow, the widow has a right to mizonos. Kol's man, as long as this widow has not expressed her interest in marrying somebody, she is entitled to draw mizonos from the estate. Do we assume that the almona's claim on the estate is a reality, is an issue that we have to grapple with insofar as constituting a reduction in the value of the estate? So the Gemara asks, "Ma'u shitamai b'nechosim? Mi amrinon? Do we say?" And notice again the structure: we have aleph, and then the next line, "O Dilma squiggle underline." Bays, two possibilities. Do we say, "Kivon di isla mizoni mimato?" Since she has a legal claim to mizonas, to sustenance after her husband dies, so her presence constitutes a mi'ut, constitutes a reduction in the value of the estate, creating a situation where the estate is now called Nechosim Mu'atim, with all that that entails. Or do we say that since at any time, if this Almona gets married, she can get married tomorrow, and at that point, she doesn't draw Mizonos anymore from her former husband's estate. So right now, we also view her as if she's not there. Before we go on in the Gemara, let's glance at the Rashbam. You'll find a double asterisk that we've written in the wide lines right under the Gemara, a few lines down. The first word in the line you notice is Imohem. So it says there, V'hainu di'iko bein mimato lelo mimato. The difference between the situation of calling it mi'ut nechasim, or viewing her as if she's not there and hence not mima'it, the imimato, if the almona is a factor in causing the reduction of valuation of the property, habonim yishalu, the sons will immediately go knocking on doors, v'almona tizon, and the almona will draw her sustenance from this estate. The e lomimata, if we say that she doesn't constitute a reduction in the value of the estate. So, the daughters, as far as we're concerned, get off the top. They get immediately the mizonos that's coming to them. However, if the almona is not mimayit, then we say yozunu yachad hu almona v'habonim, that the bonim will be able to draw together with the almona from the state. In other words, we're not sending the bonim out to pasture, so to speak, out to knocking on the doors. Continuing in the Gemara adopts here a standard structure where the Gemara will assume, as far as the first case, a particular conclusion. And after assuming a particular conclusion, the Gemara will then ask about number two. Im tim tzaloma kivon dilu mitzvah leslo hashto nami leslo. If you say regarding the almona that if she were to get married, she would lose mizonos rights, and as a result of that, she right now, right at the outset, we view her as if she's not there, and as a result of that, we said that the bonim do not go immediately to go knocking on the doors, but they will be able to draw mizonos from this estate as well. That's as far as the almona is concerned. Bas ishto mahu shetamai b'nechosim. What about bas ishto? Now, this is a new case. We have to imagine a fellow who is getting married. He's setting up a family. He's marrying a woman that has a daughter from a previous marriage. When he marries this woman, there's an option, there's a possibility of his dedicating himself to support his wife's daughter from the previous marriage for 5 years. That's the example that you find in Maseches Ksubas, and the Rashbam makes mention of that over here. This obligation to support the daughter is an obligation that's binding for 5 years. And it doesn't matter if that daughter gets married in the interim. She has a claim of 5 years of mizonos from her mother's husband. True, she'll profit by having her husband also, her own husband, to take care of her. But as far as we're concerned, we're looking at the case of Bas Ishto, the original man who married her mother, dedicates himself to support her, and this man dies, leaving his own sons and daughters. In addition to his own sons and daughters, there's also Bas Ishto in the picture. What do we say about Bas Ishto's presence as being a reason for reducing the value of the estate? Do we say she is in the picture or not? The Gemara continues. Mi Amrina, notice once again the Gemara presents an Aleph O Dilma Beis presentation. Do we say Kevon Dechi Mitzvah Nami Islo Umimato, that since if this Bas Ishto gets married, or let us say even if she gets married within those 5 years, she still is able to draw from the husband of her mother, and as a result of that, she's solidly in the picture, more so than the case of Almona before, that we said that when the Almona gets married, she doesn't draw any more mizonos. This one does draw mizonos, and therefore she constitutes a miut nechasim al dilma. Or do we say kevon de ilu mesa lesla velo mimata? If this bas ishto dies, so there is no more payment of mizonos. Certainly not to her; she's dead, but not to her heirs either. And as a result of that, since there's the potential for her to be drawn out of the picture, namely through death, so she is viewed as a non-player over here, and therefore is not mimait in the nechosim. The im tim salomar kivon ti ilu mesa leslo velo mimata. And if you say that since there is the potential for her being removed from the picture, that upon her death there's no more payment of mezonos, she is not a Memaite. What about the next case? Notice, of course, the structure of the Gemara is consistent with the situation before, where we also said that if you say by the Almona, if she gets married, she's drawn out of the picture. So too we're saying up here, that if she dies, this is regarding the Bas Ishto, she is drawn out of the picture. What about the next case? Number three, Baal Choyv, Mahu Shemaite Benechosim. Once again, we have a man who dies, leaving sons and daughters. If they were the only ones in the picture, they would be called, it would be called Nechosim Merubin. However, this man who dies is leaving a creditor as well. Debts that have to be paid to him. Mi Amrinon. Do we say, notice again, Aleph, next line, with the school under Odilma Beis. Do we say, Kevon Dechi Mayas Nami Is Lei, and therefore Mimayet, that since if this Baal Chov dies, that does not absolve the original estate, the original lender and his heirs from paying off the debts. Therefore, even with death, this Baal Chov is not out of the picture. Hence, he is a reality that has to be grappled with, and hence he is not mimayit in the Nechosim. O Dilma, kevon demichseri guvayna. On the other hand, you could say, until he actually collects, the money hasn't been collected. It's uncollected money. And as such, we will view the Baal Chov as not ape, as a non-player, as if he's not present. And therefore, lo mimayit. The questions were raised. There's no answer that the Gemara offers at this point. But rather, the Gemara flips into the second Lashon. And as we indicated before, you can see that as is represented by the Roman numeral number 2. The Ika Deboi Lo Le'idoch Yisar. There are those that present these situations starting from the opposite standpoint. Baal Chov, Mahu Shimai Benechosim. The Rashbam, you notice at the bottom line, Baal Chov, Mahu Shimai, Im Ein Nechosim, Ela Kedei HaChov U'mozon HaBonois, Mi Amrinon Dememayit HaBonois, VeHaBonois Yazunu VeHaBonim Yishalu Al-Psochim. Do we say that the Baal Chov is Memayit, and hence the sons will have to go knocking at doors? Oy, lo mimayit, v'yazunu bonim u'bonos, ad shas trefas Baal Chov. Or do we say that he's not mimayit, and hence the bonim, the sons, can draw from the estate their mezonos as well until the Baal Chov comes and actually collects im yesh moisor, ukshitrof im yesh moisor, and after the Baal Chov collects, if there's a balance left, yazunu bonus ad beger. V'im lav, and if there is no balance, yafsidu, then they don't have, they lose out. So the question is raised, what is the story with regard to the Baal Chov? Bas ishto mahu shetamayit benechosim. In other words, if you say, this is the Rashbam points out, that the Baal Chov is memayit, that is true, because even if he dies, there's still a claim on the estate through his heirs. The heirs, the yorshim of the Baal Chov, have a right to draw from it. And hence, he is definitively a memayit. What about the case of Bas Ishto? Continuing in the Gemara, Almanoso, Mahu Shetamayit Benechosim. Even if you say that the case of Bas Ishto is memayit, because she has rights to these mezonos through a Tanai Ksuba, and that's known as a takanta de rabbonon, as is pointed out in the Rashbam on the fourth line from the top. What is the din with regard to the almona? The Gemara now asks a fourth situation, but the use of a double underline doesn't appear here because this fourth question involves two of the previous players. Almanosoi ubas, e ze mehen kaidemes. Let us say that a person dies, leaving a limited estate, enough to support either the almana or the daughter, the widow versus the daughter. Who has first claim on the estate? The Rashbam points this out. The top second line from the top, almanosoi ubas, v'ein kan elo mozoin achas. Mehen, Ushtayan Tovos Mezonos Betanai Ksuba. Hilchach came with the Trevai Batakanta de Rabbanon Achli Eizo Tikdom. Since both of them have a claim, not only the Bas, as we mentioned before, has a claim based on the Tanai Ksuba, but the Almona as well does have a claim based on the Tanai Ksuba, what is who has first claim? The question was raised. Omar le zil ho'idna v'tala mochar. So the answer says, listen, go today and come back tomorrow. We originally saw Rabbi Yirmiyahu presenting the questions to Rabbi Avo, so we can assume over here that Rabbi Avo, who is in the answering position, is telling Rabbi Yirmiyahu, go today and come back tomorrow. Kiyosa, when Rabbi Yirmiyahu came back, Omar le, Rabbi Avo said, pshot nihas chadam. Of all of the questions that you raised, and we listed them off above as four questions, let us answer one of them. The one question we're going to answer will be question number four. When you have a competition between Almona and Bas for limited resources, for limited mizonas, who comes first? The Gemara continues. The Omar Rabbi Abba, Omar Rabbi Asi, Osu Almona Eitzel Habas. The Halacha views an Almona, a widow, in the context or with regard to a daughter when they're competing. Kebas Eitzel Ha'achen B'Nechasim Otem. The same way we look at a daughter facing her brother's sons and daughters, in other words, the daughter's brothers, in the case of limited funds, a limited estate. What's the halacha with regard to a limited estate? Ma bas etzel achim, ma bas nizoynus wa achim shalav sochim. Just like in a case where you have bonim and bonos, the halacha says that the bas has first claim. She gets her mazonos and her brothers, the bonim of the deceased, knock on doors for their maintenance. Af almona etzel abas. So too the same relationship will exist in the case of Almona versus Bas, and the conclusion being, Almona nizaynes v'abas tishal alapsochim. The widow has first claim, and the daughters, they will have to knock on doors. They'll have to fend for themselves. The Gemara continues with a quote from the Mishnah, Admon omer b'shvil shani zohar hifsadeti. Admon was not happy with the ruling of the Tanakama. In the case of Nechosim Mu'atim, the Tanakama ruled that the daughters gain their mizonas and the sons are out of the picture. The Gemara asks, Mai Ko Omar? In order to appreciate the Gemara's question, we look at the Rashbam in the upper part of the narrow lines, the first narrow line, Mai Ko Omar, Mai Yipui Koach Yesh Lezocher B'mizonos, B'mokom acher yoiser minikeva. Where do we find that a male has greater strength in some other situation more than the female? The ko'amar b'shvil shani zohar zechusi gadol hifsadeti. That what is it that motivated Admon based on what? What's the precedent that motivated Admon to say that hey, I see somewhere else where I as a male have greater strength? Why should I lose out over here? So our job right now is to explain what's the basis for Admon's exclamation. We notice the existence, the presence of a new geometric form, the diamond. It's explained on the outside margin under the Mivneh heading. Hezverim ledivrei Admon b'mishnah. We'll be offering explanations. Abaye will offer his, Rava will ask on it, and after that Rava will offer his explanation as to what Admon's intention is. The Gemara continues. Omar Abaye, Hachi ko Omar. Thusly said Admon, B'shvil shani zohar, V'roi ani lasoik b'torif sadati. Because I am a male, and as a male, there's a chiyuv, there's an obligation to study Torah. This is an obligation that the Torah tells us is present upon men. Though women have schar, have merit when they learn Torah, the level of obligation of learning Torah is greater when it comes to men. Men are obligated to learn Torah as opposed to women who are not. So, being that they, men, carry this obligation, Avnon feels, because I'm obligated, I should lose out? Omar lei Rava. Rava addresses Abaye, Olamayato. According to what you're saying, it comes out, man de osik b'torah, hu dioris. One who is learning Torah, he loses out. He's the one that is yoresh. He is entitled to gain an inheritance. De lo osik b'torah, lo yoris. And one who doesn't immerse himself in Torah is not entitled to inherit. That's obviously not the case. So, placing emphasis on learning Torah as being the source of the strength of the male doesn't seem to be reasonable. Elo Omar Rava, Hochi Komar. The following is what caused Admon to exclaim an objection to the Tana Kama. As follows. Bishvil Shani Zohar, Veroi Ani Lirash, Benechasim Merubin. Because I am a male, and when it comes to Nechasim Merubin, as we saw in the Mishnah, the sons, have a right to Yerusha. In other words, we take off the top that which is going to the daughters, and everything else might be a lot. It might be the majority of the Nechasim. Those go to the men, to the sons. Hipsadati Benechasim Otim. Should I lose out when it comes to limited funds? We saw that in greater funds, the sons have a very strong claim to the estate, possibly to the majority of the estate. Why then, when the nechasim become nechasim lotim, why in a situation of a small estate should the sons have to go knocking on doors? So with that, we saw at least a basis for Admon's exclamation and disapproval with the Tana Kama. However, as far as the psak din is concerned, one can turn to the Rashbam to fill in those points. We now come upon a Mishnah. Before we go into the Mishnah, let us glance at the topic heading in the outside margin. The Nosei. Ma din ha-tumtum b'nechosim aleph merubin and beis mu'atim. What is the din of a tumtum? A tumtum is a child that's born where his gender is not clear. The organs defining gender are covered by a film of skin, a layer of skin, membrane that doesn't allow us to see the gender of this particular child. How do we deal with a tumtum when it comes to nechasim merubin and when it comes to nechasim mu'atim? The Mishnah says, Hiniach bonu ubonus v'tumtum. Bizman shenachosim merubin, hazchorim doichin oisoi eitzel nekevos. When you're dealing with a large estate, so the male sons, the male children there, will tell the tumtum, "Hey, you're not one of us. Go over to the daughters. Go over to the girls, and try to draw your mezonos from them. But you're not going to get a chelik in the yerusha with us. Nechosim u'atim." In the case of Nechasim Mu'atim, where the only claimants are the girls, Hanakevos Doichos Oisoi Eitzel Zechorim, they can tell the Tumtum, "You're not one of us. Go with the Zechorim. Go knock on doors." The Mishnah presents a new situation, describing a person who notices his wife is pregnant and wants to dedicate money to the newborn. Ho'emer, im teled ishti zohar itol mona. If my wife bears a male child, I want that child to get $100. Yolda zohar itol mona. The woman bears a male child, a son, so the child will be able to get $100 based on this dedication that the father made before the child was born. The father says, another case, im nekeva mosayim. If the child born is a girl, I want the girl to get 200. Yolda nekeva noiteles mosayim. As far as we're concerned, we're to view these as separate cases. You have a case where he dedicates He makes a dedication if his wife gives birth to a son. And a separate case, a man who makes a dedication if his wife gives birth to a daughter. A third case, im zohar mona, im nekeva mosayim. V'yolda zohar unekeva. According to the Rashbam, it's important to note that this is to be translated as the woman gives birth to a male or to a female. True, that's not the simple translation of the Gemara, but the Rashbam spends a bit of time explaining why to explain the Mishnah as we just did. This is all found in the lower part of the narrow lines. We've provided ease of finding these things by a squiggle underline under the expression Yesh Meforshim. And at the last narrow line, at the end of the line, he says, Valav Milsi, not to accept the first approach, which presents this section of the Mishnah as a literal translation, but rather, as we explained, that the Mishnah is telling us the woman, if the woman bore a male or a female. We continue. So if she bore a male, after the father had dedicated by saying im zohar mona im nekeva mosayim, zohar no tail mona, if she bears a male son, so she gets the son, the child will get 100. Nekeva no teles mosayim. Yolda tumtum eno no tail. If the woman, after the husband had said, if it's a son or if it's a daughter, and what happened? A tumtum was born, he doesn't get. Im omar, if however, the father made a new dedication, kol ma sheteled ishti yitol, notice how we've called this case dalet, the fourth case of dedication, and we are dealing with a tumtum at this point, hareze yitol. The tumtum will be entitled because the tumtum falls under the category of what the father dedicated. What did the father say? Anything that the mother or that my wife bears. Vim ein sham yoresh elohu. If you have a case where a person dies, leaving no sons, no daughters, but a tumtum offspring, yoresh es hakol. The tumtum will inherit everything. As we turn to the Gemara, we notice in the little space between the Gemara text to its immediate right-hand side, between that and the Tosfos, that there's an arrow. The arrow serves to direct you to an earlier quote. You find the parallel arrow a few lines up in the Mishnah, and we'll appreciate what it says here. Doichin oisoi. In the Mishnah, we saw that in the case that there are nechosim merubin, so the tumtum is pushed by the sons over to the side of the daughters. By saying that, it sounds like the sons take their sibling tumtum and say, "You go over to the daughters, and he'll get something." So the Gemara asks, you say, Dochen oso v'shokil kibas, is it so that he gets as a daughter? Hakotani seifa. Look at the continuation of the Mishnah. It says, Yolda tumtum eino no tail. In the Mishnah we said that if a tumtum is born, so he doesn't get anything. So how can the Mishnah imply in the opening that if a tumtum is born, the sons push him to the daughters and he does get mizonos? When you read on in the Mishnah, and of course you can use the little stars that we've placed in the margin between the Gemara text, immediate to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, you notice an asterisk there, and a few lines up you find the parallel asterisks, showing you where this framed section, this Tanei quote, comes from. How do we resolve this then? Does the tumtum get anything or not? Omar Abaye, Doifin Oisoi Ve'Einlo. When the Mishnah said that in the case of the Chasam Reuben, the Zecharim push him over to the daughters, they push him over, but he doesn't get anything. If you understand the Mishnah, thusly, there's full consistency in the Mishnah. Rava, second approach, Omar, Doichin Oisoi Ve'Einlo. The sons can push him over to the daughters, and he will get Mizonos. Ah, what about the Seifa of the Mishnah, which indicated he does not get? The Seifa, Asan, the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Seifa represents a new Tanaic opinion, namely that of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who views a Tumtum as a new entity. Not a son, not a daughter, not a male, not a female. A Bria b'fnei atzmoi. Where do we see Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion? His opinion is featured in a Mishnah in Maseches Tmura. Truth is that the topic dealt with in Maseches Tmura would require extensive introduction in and of itself. This is found in the Rashbam. Briefly, though, this involves a case of a person whose animal is giving birth to a firstborn, a bechor. There are a lot of details and stringencies that apply to the care of a firstborn male animal. It's basically dedicated, given to a kohen, and he offers it as a korban. If for whatever reason, the owner of the animal doesn't want this firstborn to be designated as a bechor, of course, once it's born, there's nothing he can do about it. But before it's born, he can make conditions. He can make a tanai. He can dedicate the unborn by saying that if it's a male offspring, I want to dedicate it as an ola. If it's a female offspring, then I want to dedicate it as a shlomim. With that having been said, let us continue in the Gemara. So our approach to the seif of the Mishnah, according to Rava, who says that the tumtum is not this nor that, not male nor female. This is according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Disnan, yolda tumtum, if that offspring from the animal is a tumtum ve'androgynous or an androgynous offspring, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, omer, ein kedusha chola aleihem. The holiness associated with this man's dedication does not take hold on the tumtum offspring. What did the owner say? He said, if it's a male, it should be an ola. If it's a female, it should be a shlomim. What does Rav Shmuel say about the offspring tumtum? It's not, no holiness is associated with it. Demonstrating that according to Rav Shmuel Leo, the offspring, the tumtum that is not male nor female. Rather, we will categorize the tumtum as a bria b'fnei atzma, a separate entity. If that be the case, then we can also understand the seifa of the Mishnah that said that a tumtum that's born doesn't receive any of the options that were dedicated to the wife's child, as was discussed in the Mishnah. The Gemara asks, Meisvei, we have a Tanaic source, as you can see, is presented in a frame, as we do in all Tanaic sources in our marking system. The source says, Tumtum yoyresh keben venizoin kebas. A tumtum inherits as a son and draws mizona sustenance as a daughter. Bishlama l'rova. As far as Rava is concerned, who viewed the tumtum as a suffake? Rava above said that the males can push him over to the females, and he will draw mizonos as a female. In other words, he might be a female, and hence has rights to mizonos. He might be a male, but the male children will be able to say to him, until you bring proof that you're a male, you're not going to get with us the Yerusha. Go over to the females and draw mizonos. But as far as Rava is concerned, he's in the picture. And he's viewed as a suffake, is viewed as a doubt. So according to Rava, we can explain the source we just saw, Yoresh Keben. He will draw Yerusha as a son, b'nechosim mu'atim, which is maybe a bit of a euphemism here, that when we said Yoresh Geben, it means he would Yoresh as a son and gets nothing. That's true. In the case of Nechosim Mu'atim, he will be categorized as a ben and get nothing. For Nizon Kebas, and will draw Mizonos, draw sustenance, B'Nechosim Merubin, where he will be entitled to Mizonos, as Rava explained. Nizon Kebas, he gets Mizonos. Elo La'abaye, but according to Abaye that says, the Tumtum gets nothing. In the Sefer of the Mishnah, when the husband was making a dedication to the offspring, if she bears a male or if she bears a female, and the Mishnah ruled that if she bears a Tumtum, he gets nothing. And according to Abaye, the Sefer of the Mishnah, which said, Yolda Tumtum V'eino Notel, means, literally, gets nothing. As far as the Reisha of the Mishnah is concerned, where there were sons and daughters, Abaye said, he's pushed off by the sons to the daughters and gets nothing. How are we to understand the Brisa we just read that said Nizon Kebas? So the question is raised on Abaye's explanation. We can't understand Nizon Kebas. The Gemara continues with a defense of Abaye. Uvitameich, according to you that are asking on Abaye's approach, L'rova mai yoresh keben, what does that expression mean that the Tumtum inherits like a son? What does Rava say about that? Ela roi lirash v'einlo. Rava will explain that yoresh means in potential. He could be yoresh, but in actuality he does not get. Hachanami, so too, Abaye will understand the expression of nizon kibas as follows, roi lizon. He is potentially fit to get mizonos, but in actuality, the ainlo. The Rashbam at the upper part of the page, uletamech ma yoresh keben, dekotoni resha. What does yoresh keben mean, according to Rava? Valo al korchoch yoresh keben, the ainlo mi boyele lefushi. It's obvious that the Tumtum will be categorized merely as someone in potential being a yoresh, but in actuality, he's not going to get anything, because the other male children will be able to say, until you bring proof that you're a male, you're not going to get anything. Seifa nami lo shna. Abaye will tell you the Seifa will be understood the same way, meaning something that can exist in potential, but in actuality, no mizonos. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.